Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for being in the house with us this morning, for rising up, Father God, within us, Lord. And God, we ask you, Lord, that you would, Father, speak to our hearts this morning, Lord, as we come to your word, Father God. Lord, we come to hear from you, Father. So we thank you, Lord, that we know, we expecting you to speak to us this morning. So we know, Father, that you will do far abundantly above all that we can even think about, all that we can even ask, God. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, I pray for your grace. Say amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Oh. How many of you know that God has given you things in the gospel of Jesus Christ? There are things that God has given us. Some of the things are hidden. Some of the things are sometimes just buried below within us. So we just can't. We might not even know that they're there. Is that okay? It's okay to know that God has given you stuff that you don't even know about yet. Is that all right? Because it's true. God has placed some things in you, each and every one of us. God has not left any of us out. Every one of us in the house, God has designed specifically things and placed things within you. It's in your DNA, and He's going to bring it out if you'll allow Him. Is that all right? I'm going to tell you that He wants to bring things out. And our story, what we're going to look at today is the Apostle Paul. And so if you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. His name was Saul of Tarsus, and raised as a Pharisee, and he figured he was a man of God. He was a Jewish leader. Saul of Tarsus was he was on fire doing what he thought was right. Is that okay? He felt it was up. He needed to go out and round up all these Christians and take them back into Jerusalem and put them on trial. Some of them were being killed. Some of them were being put in prison. But Saul of Tarsus, I keep wanting to call him the Apostle Paul. Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus when he met the Lord. Isn't that cool? I just want to put this fact within you that you have been given things that you don't really know that are there. They really are there. Just as this man, this Jewish leader, had studied the Word of God and looked at God's Word, God had actually been preparing him to do the things that he began to do. And it's just amazing. So for any of us to say, well, I'm not, I don't have any gifts. And it's just not true. Every one of us, everybody in this house that's hearing my voice, God has placed things in you. And they are beautiful, wonderful things. And we're going to try to get you in touch with that this morning. Is that okay? Our message today is accessing the deposit. Is that okay? Accessing the deposit. I want you to know that God has deposited a very great thing within you. And it comes through Jesus Christ. So starting at verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, what way? Christians. If he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone round about him from heaven. Man, praise God. Amen. I love the way God has a flair for the dramatic, I would say. Wouldn't you say? How many like drama? Good drama. Not bad drama. Good drama. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Good question. Amen? Yeah. That is always a good question to Jesus. Lord, what do you want me to do? Is that right? Not, Lord, let me go find somebody to do your will. No, man. Lord, what do you want me to do? Amen? That's a good question. Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise, go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. Then the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that weird? Hey, can you imagine what they're, you know, I don't know how many was with them, but can you say, hey, are you hearing what I'm hearing? Are you hearing a voice? Yeah. Are you talking? No, I'm not saying nothing. I'm hearing it too. They heard, but they didn't see anything. That's cool, man. I love it. How many of you know God's invisible? He's an invisible God. The men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. He was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise. Go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias. It seemed like the Lord could have said, in a vision, he has seen you. But he didn't. He said, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, he has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? Isn't this that man? But Saul increased more and more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Praise God. The conversion of Saul. I love this story. How many love that? I mean, like this story. Man, this is a beautiful story. How God had a plan and a purpose for a man that was very, very contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Very contrary. This man was destroying lives, Christians, just so that he could feel that, hey, man, I'm doing this in God's name. That's what he thought. He thought he was doing it all in God's name until he met Jesus. Amen? How many of you know a lot of times we're doing things that we think are good until we meet Jesus? Amen? It's cool, man. And what God does is that he changes the lives. But these two men here, Ananias and Paul, little did they know that within their DNA, their spiritual DNA, God had set this up years before. Do you know that? There was a man named Ananias that was going to go and talk to a man named Paul who had seen a vision. Ananias saw the vision. He saw from the Lord. God gave them vision about him and what he was doing. These men had no idea that they were going to be used in this way. Is that right? And folks, I'm going to just say that we have no idea what God's going to do through our lives. You've got no idea. You've got really no plan. How many know that? You really have no plan. But God does have a plan for you. And that's a great place to be. Amen? You know, folks, it's time that we trust the Lord. Amen. Trust him for everything that he's doing for us. Because he has got great things for us. Things that are crazy things. God has deposited in your account, listen to this, God has deposited in your account everything that you need. Do you know that? Yeah. I'm gonna show you that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 3. The Word of God says this. I'm going to start from verse 1. I'm just going to read down to verse 3. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is that same Paul, Saul of Tarsus. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a scripture I want. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Do you see that verse? He says that he has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in Christ. He's already done it. It's there. Do you know where it's at? It's within you. It's already within you. Everything, that every spiritual blessing that God has for you, you've already got it. It's already there. Isn't that cool? You don't have to ask him, beg him for any of those things. God, I want these gifts. No, you know what? What God has for you is already within you. And he comes via the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you hear me? Amen. He comes through the Holy Spirit. That's it. When he comes to live and dwell with you, the Holy Spirit is the possessor of the gifts. Is that okay? Is that all right with you? Hallelujah. That way, when you do something great, you're not saying, well, that's my gift. Amen? You're going to say, no, glory to God. That was God. That's the way God works. Hallelujah. He has given you every spiritual blessing. Spiritual blessing in Christ. Love, peace, joy. Right? Fruit of the Spirit. Amen? He's given it all to you. It's all within you. Hallelujah. The thing is, learning to access. Is that right? Learning how to get to those things. Because somehow, you know, be honest with me. Sometimes people will drive you crazy. Is that okay? Yeah. Yeah. How many in the house has had somebody drive you crazy? Could you raise your hand? No, just a few. The rest of you are lying. lying. No, seriously. Amen. And God has given us those gifts so that we can do that. So that we can possess everything that we need as a spiritual person on the earth. Is that okay? Praise God. You watch. Hallelujah. I want to take you to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Hallelujah. He's given us every spiritual gift. And here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, Simon Peter, servant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Here we see the Word of God telling us that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The one scripture says he's given us every spiritual blessing. Now here he's saying, I've given you everything else. All things that pertain to life. What does all mean? Does that mean all? All means all. He's already given it to you. You've got access to it. The thing is, when do you need it? Finding it when you need it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has deposited something within you. And sometimes you don't even know that you've got it. But let me just say this to you. I just want to make this real clear. Very clear. Absolutely clear. That when you're being called upon to use it, it's there. And I'm going to make that. It can be that you really need patience with a person. And what's happening in your life, you're being called on to use that. Patience. It's a gift. You're being called to use it. So knowing and understanding that that gift is there, you can be able to walk in it. Is that right? Sometimes you might be called on to be a giver. And you might look at your wallet And you say, okay, this is all I got left. Kenneth Copeland used to say something like this. He said, when you're down to your last $20, go out and give it to somebody. Amen? Yeah, I mean, that's a good word. That's a good word, man. It really is. I mean, you might have to think about it. But anyway, when you are called on to give, know this, that God says, I've already placed something in your account. You already have what he's asking you to do. Is that okay? When it calls to love somebody, you already got it in your account. You got to draw from your account and love somebody. Is that okay? Are you getting what I'm saying? Check this out. Brother Jeff, can I get you to come up here just for a second? Now, what I want you to do, okay? I want you, right now, I like your shirt, brother.
Thank you.
Beautiful shirt, man. How many of you, anybody like your shirt? It's nice. It's a nice shirt, man. Praise God. Jeff's a good brother. You guys know that? Jeff's a good brother. I love you. Okay, here you go. I want you to tell me the vision of this church. I know you can do it. I know you've seen it. I know you heard it. And I know it's... So I just want you to just tell the folks the vision of this church.
We're going to reach every corner of this community with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And we're going to turn this place from a worldly to a godly view.
Awesome.
And that's why we're here.
Amen. Praise God.
And it's our job to go out and do it. And it's not talking about it, it's action.
Absolutely.
It's going out.
Come on.
Actually doing it.
Praise God. Wait, just a minute.
No.
Now, I should have picked somebody else.
Okay. Remember that next time.
Yeah, because this guy knows our vision statement. Amen. Check this out. What I wanted to do, I'm going to show you this. What I wanted to do, I was hoping he was going to say, well, I might not really know it. I might not know it word for word. And what I was going to have him do, I was going to say, walk over here, Jeff, and underneath your chair, go ahead and pick it up, and then come on back. Now, if you would, just I'm going to get close to you so they can hear. I want you to just read that to the church.
At the Sarita House of Worship, our vision is to equip and empower people to reach out to our community by serving, loving, and being the light of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jeff. What I was trying to do, I picked the right guy. Praise God. Thank you, Jeff. What I was trying to show was that there was already a deposit placed where he was at. He was already in him. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when I brought him up, he might not have, maybe he said, well, I'm not sure if I know it. Well, I would have said, well, you see, there's already been something placed in your account, something to draw from. And then I would have had him read it. But do you understand what I'm trying to say to you this morning? What God has for you, it's already in you. It's already been deposited. Just know this, God will never, never, ever, ever ask of anything from you if he hasn't already deposited something in you. That's why he tells us in these scriptures he's already given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's why he's told us that he has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's already given to you. You have everything you need to do what God's called you to do. Is that all right? That's a good deal, man. It really is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 22. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Good man. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 and 22. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, this scripture right here, I mean, how many of you know that sometimes we look at scriptures with filters? Is that okay? Is that right? We look at something and we say, man, I know what the scripture means. I've read it 300 million times and I know what the scripture is talking about. And sometimes the scripture used to, when I would read this, I would think, well, there's some things that might be deep within me that because when Jesus comes in, he will reveal those things that are contrary to him and will bring them to light. And allow me to see them and say, Lord, I want that out of my life. Is that okay? And that's what I've always taken the scripture to say. But when I was reading it the other day, the Holy Spirit says, no, I might need you to go back and take another look at it. I want to show you something. And what he began to do is remove a filter out of my thoughts of what I was seeing in the scripture. How many have read scriptures year after year after year, and then all of a sudden the scripture takes on a whole different meaning because of where you're at in your life? Because what's going on in your life, this scripture all of a sudden becomes something very, very powerful to you. And you go, I never saw that in that scripture before, and I've read it 300 times or whatever. And this is what was happening with me. I'd never seen this. So I kind of started thinking about what he was saying to me. And he's talking to me in the area of trying to allow things that I don't know to come to light, to allowing those things that are covered in my heart because of the way I'm looking at it, that he wants me to see what he's saying. And so, I mean, there's a scripture in Isaiah 45, and it's talking about Cyrus. And God says something to him. It was very, very clear. There are, you know, I'm going to read it to you. I didn't give it to the guy, so let me just read it to you. Isaiah 45. This is what it says. I will give you the treasures of darkness. And you know, we as Christians, we're children of light, right? So when you think, well, I'm the treasures of darkness, you might have a different thinking about that. But this is one of those areas where we need to kind of allow God to walk us through. And he says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, which call you by name, am the God of Israel. God is trying to let us know, look, I have got things that are within you that are buried. And I'm going to try to move them in and position them so that you can look at them and see what he's saying. Okay? So let's go. So what I did, I was looking at the scripture, and I could kind of get an, I said, Lord, I hear what you're saying. That you're not just trying to expose dirty deeds to me. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Maybe something, hey, man, you shouldn't have done it. He's not just trying to do that, but he's also trying to expose purpose and plan. Is that okay? So check this out. Now, I went to the Amplified Bible, and this is what the Amplified Bible says, if you could put it up. This is the Amplified, and it says, and he said to them, is the lamp brought to be put under a what? Peck? Is that okay? Under a peck measure or under a bed, and not to be put on the lampstand? Things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation. Do you see that? For there is nothing hidden except to be revealed, nor is anything temporarily kept secret except in order that it may be made known. So what I see is that God is saying these things are hidden temporarily. There is a time frame that God is going to want to bring these things out. There is a place that these things are going to be exposed. And what I really love about it, it's his purpose and his plan for you. It belongs to you. I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, and I didn't give you that either, did I? I don't think I did. I can feel these scriptures just pushing. So if you, I mean, just bear with me just a little bit. Deuteronomy. 29:29 says this, the secret things, those things that are hidden, belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever. God is saying, hey, look, these things belong to us. They're already within you. And God desires to expose them. But how is he going to expose them? There is a way that God exposes everything that's within your heart. There is a way, and it's his way. How many know it's not our way? His ways are higher than our ways. Is that right? How many know that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts? Yes. How many know that? And God's not telling us to make us think, oh man, I'll never think like God. I'll never know his ways. No, he's telling us because he's baiting us. He's saying, look, I've got ways of thinking that you haven't even thought about. I want to bring you up to these ways because that's who he is. You're going to find that in the scripture, he says that we have been given the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, why is it that we can't make it to those ways? Oh no, we can. We can get to the things that he has been trying to speak into us because we have that purpose and that plan that he's given us. I want you to look at this. Oh, you brought that up. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the work of the law. Amen? How many say amen? Praise God. God's trying to get us somewhere. Is that right? Ooh, man, hallelujah. But how? Check this out. Proverbs chapter 20:24. Proverbs 20:24, the Word of God says this: man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Is that a good question? Hey, your goings are of God. You might not know it. Everything that you're doing is of God. And sometimes we have a hard time putting our mind on that, but I'm going to tell you, God has so purposed and planned this world together. He's not missing a thing. When you go into Safeway, He knows you're in Safeway. When you're at Starbucks, He knows you're at Starbucks. He knows, when you're in church, He knows you're at church. When you're not at church, He knows you're not at church. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. But know this, God, it says this, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? How can you understand? You know, the Word of God says this: the steps of a good man or woman are what? What's that word? Ordered. I say, Lord, are you really that much in charge of this thing? Yeah, He is. He really is. A day doesn't go by that He doesn't know every action that you do. Is that okay? Isn't that cool? I mean, that's a good place to remember that God, He knows where I'm at. He knows what I'm doing. He has said He'll never leave me, neither will He forsake me. He is with me always, even to the end of the earth. He knows, He knows, He knows. Everybody say, He knows. He knows. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you say, how can a man then understand his way? Verse 27 comes up right after this. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. This week I've had an opportunity to light some unity candles, and they're kind of cool. But a candle, if it's going to give light, what does it need? Just a candle ain't going to do it. Is that right? It's going to need some fire behind it. Is that right? It's going to need some fire. Every candle is going to need, if it's going to give light, it's going to need fire. It will. I mean, is there anybody that disagrees with that? Unless it's an LED, some high-tech thing, man. You know, it looks like a candle, but it's not a candle. But I'm talking about a real candle. It's going to need, on the tip of that candle, it's going to need a flame. It's going to need fire in order to give light. So put up John chapter 12, verse 46. This is what Jesus says. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus Himself is saying, look, I am a light. I am a fire. If you allow that light to come into your heart and light that candle, what's going to happen is that candle is going to bring illumination into everything that's in the heart. Good things, or bad things, it's going to bring that illumination to all those things that are in the heart. Allow you to move some of that stuff out. Is that right? We want that to happen. But then that light's going to do something very, very, very specific for us. It is going to begin to show us purpose and plan that we have, that God has for us. Isn't that cool? I love that. I love it because, you know what? We got a sign back on the board, but help wanted always. You know, we got a little thing. I don't know who made that, but I love it. It says help wanted always. Folks, you know what? There are things that God has for you to do you just don't know about. You just haven't even stepped into. But if you have a little inkling, say, God, I'm going to do something for you. And you say, hey, I'm going to walk over to that board. I'm going to sign it up, man. I'm going to sign my name on that board. Whatever it is, you watch. Sometimes God will just bring this flood. And you're going to be blessed. You might not even know that you were, I don't know, the best janitor in the world. Ha ha. Hallelujah. I like vacuuming. Anybody here like vacuuming? No? Hallelujah. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I like doing things that don't take a lot of work, a lot of thought work. Because when I'm doing stuff that doesn't take a lot of thought work, I can be saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. God, hallelujah. You know, and I can, you know, hey, I can go after, you know, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And I can, I mean, you know what? Because I'm doing something, hallelujah. I like doing stuff like that, and that's okay. So maybe I'll be the best janitor in the world. Yeah, hallelujah. Find yourself another pastor, preacher, or whatever. No, praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is the flame. Hallelujah. And that flame is in the heart so that God can reveal things to you. Do you know that God is going to reveal things through His Spirit? Do you know that? folks, I'm going to tell you, we are body, soul, and spirit. Or is that right? No, that's not right. We are spirit, soul, and body. That is the divine order. Spirit first, soul and body. Body is your five senses. Soul is, it's going to be your will, emotions. And what's the other one, baby? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's what it is. Your thinking, the way you think. The way you make choices. And the emotions that you have. But the spirit part of you is something very different. It's your conscience. It's your intuition. It's your communion with God. Communion with God is the very most important part of that. Because when you have communion with God, you begin to hear things from God. And that hearing that thing begins to change the things that are within your mind. It will change your mind. The Bible says it this way. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you going to do that? It's not just by reading somebody's book. What it is by listening to God and allowing His Word to transform the way you think. Is that okay? And when He begins to transform the way you think, what He begins to do is that is the first step of Him taking you to what He has for you. Do you understand that? If you're always thinking, well, this, you know, I'm a minor. That's what I do. I'm a minor. God might be saying, through your wife? No, you're not a minor. You're a pastor. I'm a minor. I work at the mines, so that makes me a minor. No. Because when God spoke to my wife, hey, I think we're supposed to start a church. I said, no, I'm a minor. I don't think so. I said, nobody starts a church at 60 years old. Come on, you know that. Especially an ex-youth pastor. A pastor that's never been a senior pastor, never started. I said, I don't think so. And it took a man of God speaking to me, calling me out and saying, hey, look, you are not a minor. You are a pastor. And God can't bless what you're pretending to be. And when he said that to me, man, everything melted. And it was something that within me, I said, no, this is God. Because I felt it. It bypassed my mind. I mean, you know that. It's a good thing. Otherwise, I would never be doing this. It bypassed my mind, went right to my heart, said, okay, God, I'm going to agree with you. I am a pastor. I'll do that. I'll do what you want. Didn't know that all you were involved. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. This is probably one of my favorite passages that thinking about the Holy Spirit and Him talking to us and speaking with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man or woman the things which God has prepared for them that love them. Is that what the Word of God says? You haven't even thought of the things that He has for you. Sometimes you might be concentrating on the things that you want or the things that you like. But what happens if God has something within you already that He's trying to bring out of you? I'm going to say, my son never, ever picked up a camera while he was in high school. Did you ever see him with a camera? Never had a camera. But now, he's connected to a camera. And it's a gifting that God had given him. And being that it was a gift, he's put it into practice. And man, he had a guy in Germany sitting across the table, an old German guy looking at him. He says, you know, because my son is a videographer. You know, there's a lot of people taking videos these days. How many know that? Everybody's taking videos. Is that right? My son's a videographer, and this old German guy tells him, well, videographers are a dime a dozen. And my son sat there, well, okay, nice. Well, then why'd you, because that guy flew him all the way to Germany to tell him that. And he goes, but there's something different about the way. And you know what it is? It's called anointing. Isn't it? It's called a call. It's called something that God had placed within him and said, I'm going to use this for the kingdom of God if you let me. Do you know that's a big part of us allowing God to do what he wants to do with us? Because you'll find that whatever it is that he's placed within you, if you'll allow it to come out of you, you're going to find it's the best thing you ever, you never, you, it's because it was designed for you. God designed it specifically for you. Isn't that cool? Ah, man. So it says, as it is written, eye has not seen, ear heard, neither has entered in the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Is that right? Yea, it searches the deep things of God. Folks, there are deep things. There are things that are within you. They're deep within you. And that light, the Spirit of God, who is the light, the Spirit of Jesus, is going to go in and he's going to reveal these things to you. And then he says this. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are what? That we might know what? The things that are freely given to us of God. Can I just say this to you? There are things that God has for you, and they are free. They're good for you. They're the best things for you. But sometimes, folks, we spend our time doing things that are actually working against those things because we're stacking more things on top of these things so that we cannot see what God has for us. But I'm telling you, God says, look, I'm going to clear this up for you. I'm going to clear it up for you. I walk around the city. You guys all know that, and I've been telling you all that. But the other day, I just want to show you this. I was standing at the Truly Nolan car up in the corner. Does anybody know where that Truly Nolan car is there? I was waiting for a car to come across. I was waiting for a car there. And I've been praying. And what I love about walking and praying and walking and praying, God begins to speak and talk to me and show me things. And I was standing at that corner. And my daughter had told me probably a couple of weeks before that, hey, the kids were playing outside and they fell down. I think Diana's told me the same thing. The kids fell down out on our parking lot. How many of you know that's not a nice place to fall down? Is that right? There's going to be some little scratch damage happening to the kids when they're playing out there. If they fall, if they're running full blast and fall, it's not going to be pretty. Is that right? And so she told me, Dad, we really need to have some kind of a playground for us. I say, yeah, okay. All right. Well, we'll pray about that. Well, I'm standing at this corner by the Truly Nolan car up here, man. I'm stopping. I'm just waiting right there. And I'm looking across, and there's just the west of this building, there is a empty kind of strip of land there. And while I'm standing there, all of a sudden I see grass and trees, and I saw a basketball court sitting back there. And I go, whoa, and I looked again, and it was gone. How many know that? And I said, you know what? I'll take it. God, I'll take it. I'll get it. So I came in and told Pastor Dave, I said, hey, man, this is what I saw. So I got the number, and I called these guys. And they said, well, we've kind of dealt with churches before, and, you know, I don't know. I'll talk to them. I said, okay. He says, I said, just talk to them for me. So that way, he said, okay. So he calls me about a week. He goes, hey, talk to them. They would like a letterhead from your church and a little description of what you're doing, how long you've been there. Okay. Got it back. I was with you, huh, Tom? Tom and I were, well, he was doing all the work. I was watching him. Yeah. Tom and I were here. And while I was here, I got this call from this guy. And he's excited. He goes, hey, he goes, when are you planning to get that building? And I said, well, I feel the Lord's going to give this building to us by the end of this year. I mean, say amen to that. This building will be in our hands by the end of this year. Some of you might not know that this building's not in our hands because you see us working on it all the time. But you know what? Because Pastor Dave, man, he can't go back. He does a good job, amen? He's got it. But one of the things I believe, if it's yours, you might as well treat it like yours, right? If it belongs to you, you must treat it like it belongs to you. Is that right? So you can see we're fixing up the bathrooms. And oh, man. Brother Terry just put a floor in my office. And oh, my goodness. Hey, things are looking really good. But he says, when do you plan? I said, well, we plan to be in. I believe God's going to put this building in our hands by the end of this year. And he goes, well, they told me to tell you that they will work with you. I said, cool. And then my next words to him was, explain work with you. And he laughed. And he said this. Because what we sent in that letter, we sent in the letter that there are apartment complexes here. And there's no place for the kids to play. They must have driven down here and looked at it. And just checked it out because he goes, hey, they said they're going to donate it to you. Hey, that's God. Let me tell you this. He said this. He goes, but you know, Henry, we talked to Parker. See, these guys are even going out and doing stuff for it. Amen? Isn't that good? They're going out. You know, they said this. We talked to Parks and Recreation. And they said that you don't have enough property for a park, a real park. And I said, oh, I didn't know that. I said, I'm just wanting a strip of grass, a bunch of trees, some tables, and a basketball court. That's what I saw. And he goes, well, they might up the acreage to get you that park. And I said, come on, man. Listen. A year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, I was standing at the sign over here, and God told me 14.2. Yeah. So that's a whole piece of land back there. Who knows what they're going to do? One of the things he did say to me was, he goes, look, the mine has purchased their largest piece of property up there, and all they've got is these little tiny areas all over Green Valley. He says, it's very possible they might be just trying to unload them. I said, man, hey, come on, unload them. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is what... See, God, we have no idea what God is purpose and planning within us. Do you understand that? Do you see that? Do you get it? That God has great things for you. So go after God with all your heart. Spend time on your knees with God. Amen? You know what? Get rid of that little half-hour TV show that you watch every day and spend some time on your knees with God. And let's just hear what God is saying to you. Because God has things that he's doing and he's taking us to. Who knows what God will do? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I've said this because I'm going to say this to you. I want the church to be believing with me, be speaking this. Because, you know, the word of God tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Is that right? I would like the church to be saying, hey, this building is going to be ours by the end of this year. Just begin to put that in your vocabulary. Put it out in the atmosphere. Let the atmosphere hear saying, let all the atmosphere around you hear your voice saying, that building will be in our hands by the end of the year. And then whatever they want to donate, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, I know this is not man's work. This is God's work. This belongs to him. And Father, we're going to do whatever we can, amen, to follow that. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Let's pray. Ooh. Will you agree with me this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Father, I thank you this morning that according to your word, you have said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Lord, you have told us, Lord, in our asking, whatsoever we ask, if we believe that we receive it, we shall have it. So, Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that you have spoken to our hearts, Lord, to start a work here. And, Lord, you have, Lord, started your work. So, Lord, we just ask you, Father God, that you would place this building into our hands before 2018. We thank you for that, Father. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, Father. Father, let this house be as you have said, out of thee, O house of God, shall flow rivers of living water. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow the people of God, carrying the rivers of life to those into their community. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow the Spirit of the Lord into the community. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have spoken over us, that you have given us direction. And God, I just give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. And now, Father, I just speak to everyone that's in the house. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would just touch each and every person. Father, let them know just how much you love them. Father God, give them an encounter with you, Father God, this week that is beyond what they were even thinking, just as your word has said, Father. I thank you for it. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. I ask them that you would cause them to be above and never beneath, be the head and never the tail, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Father, I thank you for it. And in Jesus' mighty, mighty name, I ask. If you agree, say amen. 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 Hallelujah.